backstretch, car side by side, three wide, headed into the checkers. Who's it gonna be? Now it's time for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's going on, boys and girls? Y'all know what time it is. It's time once again for the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer III. Here with the guys tonight on another edition. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Camry World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And it's Monday night, or actually, excuse me, Tuesday night, September the 4th, 2018, and this is indeed your post-race podcast edition coming up right now, and we got a lot to talk about. And yesterday I did not record like usual because me and the wife just got back in town from Omaha, and I'll get to the situation in just a moment. Back in Omaha, and my voice was not up to par due to a football game, K-State football game opener over the weekend, which involves me with the voice that you're hearing right now. It's not 100% still, but it's better than it was yesterday, so that's why I did not record yesterday due to the fact that I'm still dealing with this for K-State's ugly performance. Yeah, I'll get to that in this edition of the podcast as well. So much in big news, of course, coming out of Furniture Row Racing. You know me, you know what I'm going to have to say. I'm going to save that on the back end of this podcast. And also, Mick Rose will be here, and thankfully, he will agree to join me tonight. Of course, moving things around this week. Of course, Labor Day weekend in Bowl, by the way. I hope you guys enjoyed your Labor Day weekend as well. So much to dive into on my rundown sheet tonight. Before I dive into that, of course, me and the wife just getting back into town last night, and we did not know that, of course, we were dealing with flooding situation. Of course, we had a great time, of course, at the zoo. It got a little interesting towards the end. Not going to get into that, but all in all, it was a fun time at the zoo. And then, of course, getting news even before that, that Manhattan, Little Apple of Manhattan, Kansas, dealing with flooding issues with Wildcat Creek flooding, and then our residents down over here dealing with that and major flooding Sunday night. Some 9 inches of rain, my goodness. And Wildcat Creek, as my wife always says, always floods every year. With the top of that, you got cars moving around, bouncing on one another, hopping on the top of each other. Ugly, ugly scene over here in Manhattan, Kansas. Of course, got the tropical storm down there right now, that Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, they're bracing for that as well. So definitely over at least here, 300 folks have been affected by the flooding here over those last several days. So not a very good day to spend Labor Day weekend battling that situation. So definitely keep your thoughts and prayers over here, as well as those getting ready, bracing for that impact down there. We've had some heavy rains over the last several days, including dealing with that on the way back from Omaha, Nebraska. So definitely raining all day, cats and dogs, and then dealing with the news of Truex and Furniture Racing. Definitely one of those days that definitely one of those days today, but overall, you gotta be grateful. You know, there's other things that could be worse than that, so definitely, you know, keep people in your prayers. I just wanted to open up with that, since I don't have that on my rundown, but it's been on my mind today as I've been on the road during work and driving through this mess as well. So definitely, you know, a lot more bigger things could be worse than, you know, just football or NASCAR or whatever it is that you guys like. So I wanted to open up with that. And yes, my voice is a little different than a little normal because, again, K-State, I should not have used it, but I used it anyway because of the situation that was at hand Saturday night, and that's a part of it. I'm going to save that for after half again. Mick Rose will join me at the bottom of the hour to talk NASCAR Darlington. Of course, his driver Kyle Larson did not get the job done when it mattered the most. So he's definitely the right guy to talk about that when we get to the rundown. Let's get it, baby. Fresh from the press, starting in the Xfinity Series. And I watched a little bit of racing this weekend. Not a whole lot, but I've seen a lot of highlights here and there. And of course, the Cup race, the Southern 500, was dominated much of the night by Kyle Larson anyway. And listening to most of the race on MRN radio. So I definitely have an idea I want to discuss on that tonight. So, but fresh from the press, what do I have? I got my man, Ross Chastain, the rise of Chastain. This guy, he was my sleeper last week on the last time on the EG3 podcast. Ross Chastain was going to be my sleeper, and he did not disappoint. Took over in that 42 DC Solar Chevy for Ganassi Racing the Xfinity Series, and my goodness, he was rolling up until Kevin Harvick late in this race. And two of them make contact off of turn number two. And then Chastain hit turn two pretty hard. And then after that, basically, Larry Mack said it kind of perfectly. Basically saying, if you take me out of opportunity to win, then I'm going to take you out of the win. And that's what Chastain did. Chastain turns Harvick in the right rear corner panel. He hits the wall. And Ross Chastain winning first two stages of this race. And not only that, winning the pole for the Xfinity Series race. But at the end of the day, Brad Keselowski, which we're going to talk about as well, Keselowski sweeping the Lady in Black and getting his first win in the Cup Series over the weekend. But Keselowski snuck by the contact between Ross and Kevin, and then Brad Keselowski went on to win this race as well. So, but back into Ross Chastain here, folks. Ross Chastain has been talked about getting the job done in the four car, and that four, and we all been talking about the same thing, getting the Ross Chastain maximizing his opportunity in that four car, maximizing the full potential out of that race car, getting the finishes that really shouldn't be doing. And then Chip Ganassi rewards him, getting a couple races in the 42 in the Xfinity Series. And I told you guys last week on the podcast, that's a winnable ride. And Ross Chastain definitely, if not before the hard charging Kevin Harvick, he might have been able to win this race, but it was not all the bit to be. Harvick got other ideas, and then Kevin Harvick went on to say, basically accusing Chastain. You guys have listened to it multiple times now, saying that, you know, he's undeserving of the ride, blah, 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 and all this. This is coming from a NASCAR champion who's had a hell of a year in the Cup Series in that four car for SHR. And hell yeah, you're damn right. I mean, yes, Kevin Harvick is on the wrong end of the script here. And actually, a funny story while I'm on Harvick's butt for a moment. You know, at the hotel in Omaha, and this, I tweeted this picture out over the weekend. Saw a F450 and a mini trailer hooked up on it with, of course, the Mobile One, Kevin Harvick's name on the trailer. So I thought that was funny, and basically tweeted out and say, basically, hey Ross, check this out, man. So I had to get that one out there. And prior to this race, though, Ross Chastain, he's only led five times for a total of 16 laps prior to his 129 starts. This cat led 90 laps and was basically the talk of the weekend, obviously, with his unbelievable performance. And hey, there's nothing wrong with that. This is hard racing, man. This is like Kurt Busch and Kevin Harvick at Chicagoland. You're talking about winning, and that was winning a stage a few months ago, and Kurt Busch was whining about it. This time, Kevin Harvick was complaining about how Ross Chastain raced him. I mean, come on, man. You're a champion of the sport, and you're talking about was Ross Chastain going to let him over? I don't think so, man. So all this racing, all this winning that you're doing, and you're complaining about little ass Ross Chastain. Excuse me for the cuss words, but I got several in mind tonight, so bear with me. Excuse me for the. I'll try to keep the bad words to a minimum, if you will, tonight on this post-race reaction of 3 Watt NASCAR podcast. But yeah, definitely, Harvick was in the wrong in the situation. Yeah, he was complaining on his internet. Oh, you know, so what did you expect from him? I mean, were you going to let Ross Chastain going to be easy? Hell no. This is your racing for the lead, Darlington. Ross Chastain is hella hungry to get his first victory and maximize opportunity in that ride for something special. And his team, Chastain, in the EG3 house, I tell you what, you know, Ross Chastain didn't back down. He said all the right things. Kevin Harvick did not say the right things. And Brad Keselowski was in the right position at the right time and nearly got collected, but slid on by the contact, and he went on to win this race. I don't have the results put up right now. I will do that right now. But you're at a situation where you're talking about a young guy who's got an opportunity to win a race, and you're going out here complaining. So I don't know what Harvick was whining about and all the other stuff, as Keselowski went on to lead the last, 3 laps of that race to win it. And again, Keselowski going back to victory lane in the Xfinity Series. He's won already once this year earlier, got a win taken away from him at New Hampshire. Christopher Bell outdoing Keselowski. Keselowski getting back to victory lane in this one. Cole Custer in double zero. A lot of talk are surrounded about this Cole Custer, him linking him to the 41 lately. Tyler Reddick, he needed this finish badly in the worst way. He had a good-looking paint scheme with the old Milwaukee's paint scheme. He finished third, started third, finished third. Denny Hamlin, Elliott Sadler, your top five. Chase Elliott, Justin Allgaier, Matt Tiff coming home in eighth. Ty Dillon and Michael Annette coming along here as a late, finishing in the 10th spot. So Annette having some great runs here in the last month or so, and he desperately needed that. Some notables here: Daniel Hemric finishing outside the top 10. Brandon Jones, 12th. Ryan Reed, 13th. Ryan Truex finished in the 15th spot. And you go down the list, some more. Ross Chastain leading, winning both stage 1 and stage 2, finished 25th in this race. But absolutely, you're going for the win again. This is like, you know, Todd Gilliland situation. He and Noah Gregson, the teammates situation, going at it. But, you know, Harvick, you know, winning state. This is going back to Chicagoland. I know I'm jumping from point to point. But Harvick, you know, beating Kurt Busch tonight in Chicagoland. Kurt Busch was, whining about it. And you fast forward to Labor Day weekend, Saturday afternoon. You're battling with a guy that's has really the hot hand right now, Ross Chastain. And the momentum, the mojo, and you're complaining about little ass hard racing. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you've won your share of races this year, and you're complaining about little ass Ross Chastain, you know, getting up in your grill and race you hard. You guys act like some babies. I'm sick and tired of hearing it. I mean, racing hard for the win, and the teammate situation with Kyle Busch is a little bit different. But here, in this case here, you're going after one another. Ross Chastain did not back down one bit. And Harvick, you know, the lap car has something to do with it a little bit. But come on, man. I mean, I can go on this, but I ain't got the time. I ain't got the patience right now. I could just go on a ramble about all this babying, about racing one another hard, about the lead. You're going down to business. You're trying to win a race. Whether it's the Cup Series or the Xfinity Series race, give it a break. For the first quarter on here, let's go to the first quarter. Austin Cindric coming off of road course engine failure in the 22 car last week. And then over the weekend, he gets knocked out of the way or accidental contact by Ryan Truex early in this race. And Austin Cindric was fuming after he got collected, and afterwards, he was crying, saying that, you know, and understandably so, man. I felt bad for the guy because, you know, that 60 car, how many times is it finished? I have no idea. This has been a story of 2018 for that 60. Hey, whoever is in it, Chase Briscoe, Ty Majeski had good runs in that car, but when it's Chase Briscoe or Austin Cindric, they have not finished. And there was a stat on here, and I didn't write it down or anything. I'm coming off of a mini vacation here, Labor Day vacation, so I don't have numbers on me. I have notes that I wrote down from over the weekend about these races, and that is bad luck. Austin Cindric finished dead last, and we'll take a look at the point standings here with Mick here in the second half of the podcast, but Austin Cindric better be really careful because Annette Starn has last couple of races here and there. Has put down a couple of top 10, 15 finishes here and there, and Cindric finished dead last, and Cindric was pissed that he didn't finish. And I believe that was his first start at Darlington. So he really wanted to get the laps in. And he did not get the laps in because Ryan Truex accidentally, I guess, got into him. And Ryan Truex, by the way, honoring Martin with that championship look. He looked a little bit like his little brother there. So I loved it. But he was on the padded of tapping Austin Cindric a little bit. They get into it. And Cindric finished dead last, and I believe, if my memory is right, Cindric is like 55 points to the good round with two races left. Indy, and then then the off week, and then you turn around, the final race in the regular season for the Xfinity Series, it's Richmond. So Cindric, he better be really careful, you know, engine failure, and right now, Cindric has had the bad luck in the Xfinity Series. You know, that 60 car, That's supposed to be snake bitten or something, because every time at least Chase Briscoe and Cindric get in, they wreck for some reason. So that's been the story of that 60 car. Ty Majeski has probably finished more times in that car than the both of them combined. So that I don't know what it is, but you know, at one point, you know, going back, if you're talking about throwback with Mark Martin at 60, that team, that number used to be winning races, but now it's wrecking. It's wrecking out early and watching everybody else race. So that's just mind-boggling to me. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, Integrated 3rd, here with the guys. And my voice feels a little bit better, actually, talking to you guys tonight, this Tuesday night. Nope, it's not Monday. It's Tuesday. Here, I gave my voice a little rest, and we're reaching up to that point now. Mick will be joining us here shortly. Mick Rose, Mr. Kyle Larson fan. All right, quarter number two, we're moving along here. So much to get to. And I kind of pretty much stated it already, Brad Keselowski, in my second quarter notes, gets the win. Allgaier extends his lead, and Christopher Bell had issues in this one. Bell hit the wall late in his race, and Christopher Bell starting to lose pace with that tight battle in the Xfinity Series points while I'm pulling that up. So Bell losing some points there. Henrik finishing outside the top 10, as I mentioned early on in the podcast, and looking for, there's what I'm looking for. So Bell finished 34th at Darlington, and Christopher Bell lost critical gain. So now, when you look at it now, Allgaier with a top 10 run, Elliott Salor and Cole Custer now separated by 17 points with two to go in the regular season. Bell is fourth. Hemric is fifth. And at one point, we were talking about all five of these cars gobbled up in a bubble waiting to see who gets it. And right now, Justin Allgaier, 15, he can't smell that 15 points. But again, we're going to Indianapolis here this weekend with the Xfinity Series. The trucks are again off. You're just joining us. The trucks did not race this weekend. Xfinity Series and the Cup Race Series race at famous Darlington for throwback weekend. And Brad Keselowski took both of the races, bring out the brooms for the two car, sweeping the races at Darlington, and more importantly for Keselowski, we'll get into it more with Mick on the back end of this podcast. Keselowski on the board in the win column in 2018. If you had told me that he would win the Southern 500 this late for his first win, I would have told you hell no. He would have already won because of his success at recent racetracks, even prior to Darlington. So, Keselowski, huge mojo. And I don't want to say huge mojo yet, but they definitely have the momentum right now. And Park Klickerman probably is smiling from ear to ear. He's been all over Keselowski's butt. Really in the last month saying that he's the fourth car to compete with the big three. So I know, I see you, Parker. So there's that. But Justin Allgaier, what I have on second quarter, is now 16 up on Sadler's teammate from Junior Motorsports. Of course, Elliott Sadler hanging it up at the end of this year. And one more back to Cole Custer. And Cole Custer is yet winless this season with two races to go in a regular season. So lot to look forward to, and with Ross Chastain winning both of those stages, really nothing changed when you look at the actual playoff per standings right now. Bell, Allgaier, still in double digits. Tyler Reddick needed that run at Darlington. He needed that in a worse way. Still, he leads Siler, Hemric, Custer, Brandon Jones, Matt Tiff, all have playoff points, and that includes all actually Austin Cindric, and I said 55. That's five off. Not too bad. 60 back. And Chastain, with that finish, he's 54 up on Michael Annette, Jeremy Clements, Ryan Siegel, Alex LeBay, way back. So when you're really looking at it, the battle is for 12th. Like I said, still, though, Austin Cindric, Chastain, better be careful here in the next two events with Michael Annette kind of chipping away at it a little bit, kind of like the Cup Series a little bit. It's going to take an upset to somebody to knock out one of those guys. Excuse me. Like I said, my voice is still recovering, so you're going to have to excuse me as the podcast rolls along. So definitely, you know, not really much to talk about there on that back end of the quarter. Moving along, thank you guys for tuning in once again for a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 Eddie Gray III. Once again, I saw bits and pieces of race weekend, including the last 30 laps of the Southern 500 due to me and my wife being out of town and then coming home to hear news of there's flooding in Manhattan. So like I said at the top, Keely, please keep the ones that are affected in your prayers this past week. My halftime analysis. Going to football. This is why you're hearing me squeak. And this is before Mick Rose joins me here in just a little bit. Once again, he'll be joining me to talk Darlington and the news of Martin Truex Jr. and First Row Racing. For those of you who have not heard by now, shutting it down, sadly, at the end of the year. Yeah, I'm gonna save that for last. So, but the halftime, K-State, bad performance. You know, hey, it's South Dakota, and we were losing to this team, and normally I don't try to use up my voice early on in the season. This is only the first game of the season, and yes, I have a lot more to look forward to this week, including the Falcons taking on the Eagles Thursday night, which I'm very looking forward to, very excited for that, but I didn't want to use my voice for this, and for some reason, the way that these guys played, the quarterback situation, it was ho-hum. It looked like offensive line was a mess. It's supposed to be one of the best offensive lines at four of the five guys returning starters coming back, and they play like crap. I would say the other word, but I won't use it yet. But that was a crappy performance by K-State, and again, we had to rely on Skylar Thompson to come back in the fourth quarter to win it. Isaiah Zubercook coming up in the most big way, making a couple of plays, special teams, and yeah, that special teams punt return for a touchdown, that was the big moment of this game, and what for that, we would have been screwed, because that, I mean, the defense played in the second half, the offense still is struggling to find some kind of identity, and it goes back to me saying on a Darlington preview show last week, but we need to find a quarterback who's going to take over the reins. Not just take over, but who's going to solidify that spot. And really, you know, we had drop passes for interceptions, all that other stuff. fumbles by Alex Barnes. God, guys, it was horrible. This is why my voice is cracking like it is, and it still is. But it was much more, a little bit worse yesterday. That's why I did not record like I usually do yesterday, because my voice was still a little foggy. But today it's better, and it's sort of getting better as this podcast getting better. But overall, we still somehow won the thing by a field goal, 27-24 over South Dakota Coyotes. Ouch. I mean, this is a team that we should have beat by at least a few scores, maybe more. It almost came down to freaking overtime with these Jokers. And, I have my concerns. We got Mississippi State coming up, 18th ranked Mississippi State. And my other team, Florida, they whipped up on Charleston Southern. But my A team, they didn't do crap. And they had to rely on a fourth quarter comeback. You play like that against a ranked team like Mississippi State, SEC opponent, we're going to get our ass handed to us. So, that's on the real. Our number one guy who wants the ball more, Alex Barnes, continuing to fumble. I mean, he's got to be on some kind of a short lease or something, because he almost gave it away. And South Dakota nearly forced overtime in that situation. So, I don't know what it is. I mean, that was probably the most horrible opening game that I have seen in quite some time since I've been in Manhattan, Kansas. That was ugly. That was ugly. let me simplify that. That was just ugly. And last night, again, Florida State, they got their ass handed to them against Virginia Tech at home. And Miami, same thing. They got their butts handed to them too. So Miami, they ain't back. Tennessee, they ain't back either. Florida State, they ain't back either. So Michigan, they got their butts chewed up too. Not as bad, but they still lost to Notre Dame on the road. But not as bad as these guys, Miami, Florida State, Tennessee. That these four colleges that have been great in the 90s, in the early 2000s, they ain't shit now. Again, excuse me. Like I warned you guys before, I'm going to keep the cussing to a minimum. But the football season got me riled up. That's for sure. I watched a lot of it this weekend, along with trying to get a little bit of NASCAR coverage also. So, those teams, they ain't back. And then watching, Francois turn the ball over a lot. Whew. He was excited about it. He might as well put the rewind switch on, because that was crappy. Him and that team, Virginia Tech, all the doubts, the young team, they showed up to play in their own house and put the whoop stick on them in that one. So I'm glad football's back, and I'm really pumped up for this Atlanta-Philly game here Thursday night. And I'm trying to save my voice, and I might not do much yelling at this Mississippi State game, but K-State, if they play like that, they're going to get their ass handed to them, and they ain't coming back. That's for damn sure. They ain't coming back. You can't be dancing around that. And that was ugly. You got one of the best offensive lines probably in the Big 12, and you play like that, really not giving Alex Barnes enough room. It's just not, I don't know what else you expect from that, but that was just an ugly performance right there. So, K-State, they got a lot of work to do, and it's Tuesday night. So, all right. That is telling me something. Let's get Mick on here real quick. Mick, what's going on, man?
What's happening?
Not too much. Just talking K-State here before you hopped on. What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. There's a lot of NASCAR news today, huh?
Oh, man. You ain't kidding. And I'm saving that for last. How was your Labor Day weekend?
Excellent.
That's good. Yeah, I just, like I was texting you yesterday, just coming back from Omaha, Nebraska, and we had a chance to check out the Omaha Zoo there. They had some pretty good things up there, so that was nice to get away.
Nice zoo. It'll wear you out going to that zoo.
It did. It took us 2 days. Well, actually, it took us one, but we went back to try to see if we missed anything. So it's definitely one of the bigger zoos that I've seen in quite some time. But speaking of news, before I get to that, Southern 500, your driver, Kyle Larson, he was on another planet and for whatever reason did not get the job done late in this one. What are your first thoughts about your driver and the way that he performed Sunday night?
Yeah, I did not want to see a caution at the end there. He was so good on the long runs.
Yeah.
And earlier in the race, he had lost the lead. He had fallen back a ways, but, you know, from Truex and Harvick. And it took him like 20 laps to run him back down, you know, before. And then with that late caution, I didn't know. Even if he got the lead, I didn't know, you know, how it worked because his car was so good on the long run. But it's racing, you know.
Yeah.
You got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, I've definitely been where you at, that's for sure. My goodness, 284 laps. And I listened to his press conference before I went to work this morning. And for a guy that has finished second a lot and has led a lot in his career, and he's won quite a bit. But, you know, at this stage of the game here, we got one race left until the playoffs start. And with the way that these playoff points, you know, can shake out with the elimination stages and all that other stuff, you know, in my opinion, I think Kyle Larson and that 42 team, you know, they missed out on an opportunity here to get some points.
Yeah, they did jump two spots in the standing.
I saw that, yeah.
Two more points in the, or maybe it was one spot. It was one or two spots he moved up in the standings. And, you know, those points, you know, at the end of the regular season, you get points there. So he did get a, you know, help that cause out. But as close as those guys are, if he has a bad week in Indy, he could lose a couple spots in the points. So you still have those end of the season or the end of the regular season points for the top 10 in the points. So hopefully mm-hmm. he can gain another spot and get some more playoff points that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all you need. Every point that matters, everyone. That's the old saying now, every point counts. If you're trying to race for a championship at Homestead, you're listening to 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Eddie Greer III, joined by Mick Rose from Junction. And oh, by the way, before I dive into more, have you guys had, it's been raining all day. I've been on the road all day. It's been raining. Is it still raining over where you at?
It's still raining. All day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. It's been raining here and there and everywhere in between. So, yeah, definitely stay dry if you can.
Has any of the floodwaters went down over there off of Anderson yet? Is it still...
Actually,
they've gotten that cleared up over there, or
it's cleared up quite a bit now. I had an opportunity to drive over there a little bit. It's cleared. All you see now is still there's puddles here and there, especially where the old race market, Apple Market, is, where it was,
yeah.
Where I saw videos. Me and my wife were seeing videos, and it was ugly.
Yeah.
It was ugly, but it died down a little bit, so. And,
well, that's good.
Yeah, so definitely, but there are quite a bit of people that are affected from the flooding, so yeah. So, but thankfully, even though it's still raining over here, it's died down. That's the main thing. So, all right, moving along. The first half of the podcast, Meg, I talked about Ross Chastain and his great performance over the weekend, even though the finish did not reflect on performance. And you know, I've been reading over Twitter, I've been, since the news of Truex, going back and looking at Ross Chastain. And what are your thoughts about Ross Chastain's performance this weekend?
Oh, I thought he did excellent. I thought, you know, everything that was asked of him, I thought, you know, he did everything right. I you know, you know, there's really nothing you can say. He was given the opportunity, and he showed what he could do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And he gave us a treat. And I talked about Kevin Harvick on the first half of the podcast, and you know, with the racing hard, you know, it's going down to the last laps, and you know, Kurt Busch, he and Harvick raced hard at Chicagoland. Kurt Busch was complaining about it, you know, not getting the stage win, thought that Harvick would ease up a little bit. And I think about the same thing with Harvick and the champion of the sport and all the races that Harvick has won. You know, I thought Kevin Harvick was a little bit of a baby. You know what Ross was supposed to do? Move over?
Right. I agree. What happened on the track, I believe, was just racing. You know, Harvick seen the opportunity. He tried to, you know, take advantage of it. Ross Chastain wasn't going to have any of it. You know, if either one of them would have lifted, neither one of them would have probably wrecked. But both of them, you know, was hoping the other one would probably lift. And it was what it was, but I really don't blame either one of them. But Harvick's post-wreck comments were out of line, and I didn't care for them, you know. If he would have just said, hey, we were racing, you know, and moved on, but it was kind of, he had to take a personal jab and all that. But I'm not a real big Harvick fan anyways. I don't. So.
Yeah.
Normally, he's like my, you know, a lot of people get irritated anytime Kyle Busch says something.
Yep.
I'm normally irritated anytime, you know, Kevin Harvick says something. So I don't know. I believe most people thought his comments were out of line anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that Kevin Harvick was out of line, and everyone was siding with Ross Chastain, so definitely, you know, he has two more races with the 42, and I think, you know, I had him as my dark horse before the weekend, and he really did a nice job, but I think Ross Chastain, in his two races that he has left, I think he has the opportunity to win one of those races. If he performs just like he did over the weekend.
Yep, it is. There's no reason why he can't run up front, you know, with in that car. So I believe he'll be a factor at all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Or the next two he's in. Okay. I don't think he's in it at Indy, but I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
I think it's Richmond and Vegas, right? I think are the next two.
Yep, that's right. That's about right. Absolutely. We already touched on third quarter, talking about Kyle Larson's big night, leading 284 laps out of the scheduled 367. Wow, that was total domination. But that transitions into the fourth quarter note that I have tonight. Brad Keselowski has been noted a couple times in tonight's podcast, sweeps Darlington. Mick, what are your thoughts on Brad Keselowski sweeping the weekend at Darlington? That's kind of rare to have one driver, at least here at Darlington, sweep both races. But Brad Keselowski being there at the right time with the Chastain-Harvick situation, and then his pit crew getting a fast pit stop on the money stop, and then running away from Larson and his teammate Logano at the end.
Yeah, before the weekend, he had never won at Darlington in anything. You know, he's never won there. And then to sweep it was pretty good. And like you said, he took advantages of the opportunities. You know, the Xfinity race, I didn't think he was the most dominant car there.
Oh, no, nope.
The two dominant cars, you know, they tangled. So it left the opening. And when he needed to be great at Darlington with the last restart, he got away from everybody and drove away. So he did everything he was supposed to.
Yep, that's what you're supposed to do. Yep, go put yourself in position. You hear it all the time, every week. You put yourself in a position to win the race, whether it's the Coke 600 or Southern 500. Southern 500 is a long, very long race, and you give yourself the opportunity. You hang around long enough, you pounce on a mistake, and that's what Brad Keselowski did. Penske Racing went 1-2. Logano finished second, and I watched the last 40 laps of this race, and I think it was Steve Letarte or Dale Jarrett, one of them said that, or Dale Jarrett, I think, said something about Penske did not has not won at Darlington since 1975. That's a very long time. I didn't believe that when I heard that.
Yep, that is a long time. I didn't hear it, but man, that is a long time.
Yeah, I was even born back then, but that's a long time. And Ryan Blaney missing from this equation here. He had an off night. He finished in the 15th spot. Going forward to Indy, where the captain, Roger Penske, wants to win Indy so bad, is this the momentum that the 22 car, is what they're looking for headed as we get very close to the postseason?
It is. I think, you have to be running good at this time. You know, the momentum, it has to help. You know, the team has a little pep in their step now. They got the win. They feel like, they're on the, and then you go to Indy. So, yeah, I think it has to, throw momentum that way.
Yeah, that's for sure. Especially we got marquee races back to back, like a Southern 500, and now instead of the old Richmond, you throw in Indy replacing Richmond. Of course, Richmond is part of that the playoffs this year. Indy, the Indianapolis, not the Indianapolis 500, but the Brickyard 400, almost left it. But yeah, that's got to be huge. And Joey Logano talked about in his post race with NBC there, that momentum's big, that you want to be hitting your stride at the right time, and maybe Penske's found something, but they got to get that 12 car going. Ryan Blaney, who was strong early in the season, he's kind of fallen off a little bit. Blaney, he's got to find a way to pick it back up, or he's going to be out early.
it's a tough field, but there's only two cars that are not locked in right now, and that's Jimmy Johnson and
the Hendrick cars.
Bowman. Yep, and Alex Bowman, and I believe they will both be locked in. I don't see anybody winning out of there, but even when we go, even if you get locked in, though, it's other than the three, the Truex, Busch, or Kyle Busch, and Kevin Harvick, everybody else will be starting, within a stage worth of points away from each other. Uh-huh. There's not a huge gap between 4th to 16th with the playoff points.
Mm-mm.
You can make up the difference in one stage.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, those stage points, when it comes playoff time, is going to be critical. When it comes playoff time, and that's why they say stage points, finishing that top 10 in those first two stages are huge. And yeah, you're right, man. After Truex, once the points reset, yeah, it's going to be really tight, and that's going to be really interesting to see, who's going to make the mistake and who's going to have the possibility of having those. You never know about these things when it comes to playoff time. So, and even with, when I took a look at the regular season standings, Kyle Busch has, I think, a 39-point advantage right now on Kevin Harvick. It's not completely sewed up yet, because who knows what's going to happen with that. But if Kyle Busch does Kyle Busch things, he'll all but lock up the regular season title on Sunday.
Right, and I think they will both end, if that happens, and neither one of them win the race, because they could easily, either one of them could win the race this weekend. But if they finish 1 and 2, in the points plus the playoff, they'll both have 50 points, with the playoff points, and that's great. That's more, you could pretty much go and wreck at the Roval and be all right.
Yeah, pretty much, because the Roval, that's, we all been talking about it. It's been talked about. It's going to be a lottery ticket to see who survives out of that one. That's for sure. Yep. You talked about Jimmy Johnson and Alex Bowman. I want to focus a little bit towards Jimmy Johnson. Brad Keselowski, I was listening to his press conference this morning, and he mentioned something about Jimmy Johnson. It would be an upset if Jimmy Johnson were not to make the field. And I cannot believe I'm not a 48 fan, but I cannot believe at this stage we're talking about Jimmy Johnson not being a total lock in the playoffs, and he's sitting some 87 in front of the cut line right now. He's over 10 points ahead of Alex Bowman for that last spot. So what are your thoughts about Jimmy Johnson? To me, it looked like he didn't have the speed with his other Henrik teammates. William Byron had more speed than Jimmy Johnson. What's up with the 48?
I do not know. Because the 9 seems to have gotten better. The 88 seems to have gotten better. The 24 was running better. The 48 seems to, well, it looks like it's running better, and then at the end it doesn't finish, you know? So
That's kind of their issue, at least the last, like, month or two. It seems like they run up in the back end of the top 10, and then all of a sudden they have either a pit issue or something mechanically goes wrong.
Yeah, so. And, like I said, I don't see anybody winning, you know, and knocking out Alex Bowman or Jimmy Johnson, but it is Indy, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah.
You know, because last year the whole race was crazy. But normally it's my least favorite race of the year is the Brickyard, but last year it was kind of interesting, so I'm hoping, you know, there's similar stuff to keep me interested this year.
Yeah, you're
next week, yeah.
Yeah, you're not the only one. At least a couple people have talked to me about it and said Indianapolis is not their favorite race to watch at all. But definitely things really sparked after Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. got together. And that whole race just was wild after that. Just talking about the cut line. Go ahead. Sorry. I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, no. I didn't say anything.
Okay. All right. But it's, yeah. After Alex Bowman, obviously, and yeah, I agree 100%. I don't see Stenhouse, or even former winners like Ryan Newman, Paul Menard going up there and winning. Daniel Suarez hasn't, and we'll talk more about Suarez here, about Truex here in just a moment, but I don't see Suarez winning. McMurray, a former Indy winner, I believe. I don't see him going up there and winning at all. So, I mean, we got three former Indy winners in the back end of this cutoff, and yeah, I don't see any of them win at Indy. So yeah, like I said a few weeks ago, I think the field will be set even with the issues of the 48, and Alex Bowman's running a bit better. So I don't see an upset happening at Indy.
Yep, I just don't see it. But crazier things have happened.
Yes, like college football, anything can happen on any given week, that's for sure. Southern 500, top 10 here real quick. Keselowski leading 24 laps en route to his first win of the season. Who would have thought about that? Keselowski waits to get his first win towards the end of the regular season. Logano, 1-2 punch for Penske, finishing second. We covered that. Larson, dominant, but couldn't finish it. Third, Kevin Harvick finished fourth. Chase Elliott, another top five for him, finished fifth. Kurt Busch, sixth. Kyle Busch was quiet for an 18 performance, but he finished seventh. Eric Jones, eighth. Jimmy McMurray, we just talked about him, he finished ninth in this race. Denny Hamlin finished 10th, sat on the pole for this race and led the first opening laps before getting past there early. Martin Truex Jr. finishing outside the top 10. I'll get to Truex here in a second. He finished in 11th. Some notable finishers here. Chris Buescher, he's had some great performances here over the last couple of months or so. He's out finishing A.J. Allmendinger, 13th for Buescher. Blaney finished 15th. Austin Dillon in that silver 3, 16th. Ryan Newman, he and that Clint Bowyer getting together there. that was some miscommunication there. Newman finishing 19th. And then you go down here. Matt Kenseth, 25th. Ross Chastain, of course, coming off that great performance, finished 28th. In the cut race, Daniel Suarez, who called out his shot. And then finishing 29th. Ouch. And then down here in this list here, Derek Cope was the talk of the night also. I got my issue on that. Derek Cope finishing 33rd. And then Clint Boyer, of course, 34th. What happened there with Ryan Newman and Clint Boyer there? It looked like Ryan Newman stopped in the middle of the racetrack.
Right. Yeah, I think he was headed to the pits, and I do not know. Because he put his hand out. They showed the replay that he put his hand out on the backstretch, but Boyer was like three cars behind that, so he didn't see it coming. And I heard on Door Bumper Clear, Spotter Brett was saying that Clint Boyer was talking on the two-way radio, so he couldn't respond to tell him, you know, at the same time. So there wasn't no communication. So, yeah, it was just a whole bunch of unfortunate, circumstances that all happened at the same time.
Mm. Yeah, so Newman there kind of ruined both of their races there. And there's a couple people that have told me that Brett Griffin's podcast is good to listen to. So I got to go back and listen to that as well. But yeah, the big news of the day, obviously, Martin Truex Jr., my driver, Inferential Racing, shutting it down at the end of the year. And it is very, very disappointing to hear that after winning the championship, being on top of the sports pinnacle last year. It's quite a storybook, finishes of a storybook ending last year with the championship, and now four wins this year for Truex and Pern & Company, and it all comes down to this, basically the domino effect of 5-Hour Energy leaving the sport and left a big hole, financial hole, for Virtual Racing. Barney Visser didn't want to put his dollars back into it, to his own race team, and decided to shut it down at the end of the year. Crazy.
It is crazy.
And now, I mean, I'll have my thoughts to end the show, but now going forward, you know, something, you know, had to happen. Something had to be announced before the playoffs. I said it all along since, you know, 5-Hour left, made a decision to leave the sport. You know, is Fitzgerald going to sign Martin? Is somebody else interested? You know, there's been already, we've talked about it, Mick, about, is he going to the 41? Is he going to the 19? And all this other stuff. And now, finally, with the playoffs looming, the first shoe is basically tied on. Truex, and he's not coming back. He's going to be looking for another ride. So, what are your thoughts now, I guess, moving forward now with this domino and Kurt Busch, you know, his domino has yet to be set in stone either, because he said, I think over the weekend too, that he has two options. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard that too. He has two contracts and he's going over both of them. So I don't know if one is Stuart Haas and one is Chip Ganassi. I have no idea, but I don't know. Or he only has one and he says he has two for negotiating power because he wasn't happy with the first. That I don't, you know, it can be a game played. I do not know.
Yeah, that's for sure. But silly season is definitely in full effect now. It'll be interesting now, you know, going forward and entering these playoffs to see who gets Truex and who gets Kurt Busch. And then also, Jimmy Murray's been in talks as well. Casey Kane made an announcement a couple weeks ago now that he's stepping away from full-time racing. So a lot of kind of unfilled shoes, if you will, here as we go into the playoffs here. And of course, Martin Truex Jr., of course, part of that big three that we've talked about all year long, and I've been reading a lot lately, and it started last week. People have been telling me about, you know, he could be linked to the 19. And of course, Daniel Suarez, he's in the position now that he has to go out and win. He hasn't won a race yet, so I mean, I'm gonna still wait and see, but there's a lot of talk that Truex could possibly head over there, or he could head over to the 41.
Yeah, I think I heard today that the rumor is Adam Stern, I think, put it out like 2 weeks ago or a week ago that Furniture Row could possibly close down and Truex would be going to the 19 and Suarez would be going to the 95. And so
that's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that is all kind of happening, you know. And I think they'll probably announce it this week at Indy. You know, there's no need to let it wait, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely know, yeah. I understand completely.
The hat's
yeah.
out of the bag. The 78 team is closing down, so they could probably, you know, just go ahead and have a press conference, you know, at Indy.
That's you.
And do all that. But unless the deal ain't done with the 95 yet, maybe they got to wait till that's done because they don't want to think Daniel Suarez is out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And my buddy who broke the news to me after lunch about the French Row shutting its doors down, he also thinks the same pace that I do. I really think that true. It's the I said this in the Darlington podcast last week that it's the easiest transition in my eyes. I guess, you know, being a Truex fan and seeing him, you know, 78 shutting it down. Of course, Virtual Racing, you know, half that technical alliance with Toyota anyway, so that would be the easiest, right, instead of going over there to a whole new their manufacturer. It just doesn't make sense to me. That's basically it right there. He goes to the 19, and you're right about that. Rather than, you know, not mess around and wait till they get the playoffs, because Mark Truex, he's, of course, the defending champion, and he's trying to get back to Miami to defend that title. Finally, the cat's out of the bag. You don't want to have any more distractions. I mean, there might be some, but you don't want any more major distractions. You want to go ahead, make the announcement at Indy, not mess around with it, and have your team focus on trying to get back to Miami and focus on possibly going out on a bang and winning another title.
Yeah. I agree. That would be the best way to do it. You know, it makes no sense to, if he's going to the 19, to hold off on making that announcement, you know, in the middle of the playoffs. You know, so
yeah.
I think it would be best just to put that distraction to bed, you know, and then roll on and shoot for a title.
That's exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to 3Watt NASCAR Podcast. Just a few more minutes with Mick Rose, EG3, Eddie Gritter III, here with you guys on this Tuesday night. And going away from the Truex announcement here, who are your biggest winners this weekend coming out of Darlington for you?
Biggest winners would probably have to be Ross Chastain. He would, you know, all of the ones who, you know, said, well, you know, that question, you know, is he really outperforming his equipment? You know, you put him in good equipment and he ran up front all day. So, you know, I think that puts that, you know, can he run up front if you put him in good equipment? I think he can. So that would be the biggest winner.
And, yeah, I agree whole heart with you on that. He is the winner. I also got to add in here on the Xfinity and Cup side, for that matter, Brad Keselowski finally getting that win off his mucky, off his back, if you will. Like he said in his conference with the media, he finally doesn't have to answer to when you're going to win a race and all that other stuff. So Keselowski, for me, is the big winner this weekend. Who you guys the biggest loser coming out of this weekend?
Well, I do not know. It was, I would have to say, probably, you know, Furniture Row would probably, you know, the having to shut it down is probably, I don't know if that's really this weekend or this week or whatever, but that's probably the biggest loss of the weekend, you know, of this racing week, is to see a successful team have to shut the doors down.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you at least on that as well. I don't see any illusion. Probably, you know, besides that, you know, Kyle Larson, you know, coming oh so close to getting his first win of the season, and just couldn't. He didn't have enough car there at the end, but he was rolling. That's all I gotta say. Yep. Really, he was rolling, man.
You said you listened to the. I heard, you know, I listened to Kyle Larson's press conference, and I listened to Jamie McMurray's post-race conference, and they both said the same thing. Well, pretty close to the same thing. Kyle Larson said they had found something in the test at Richmond, you know, that made the cars go, you know, that they could use.
That's right.
And Chad Johnson had called back to the shop, and then Jamie McMurray said the same thing. They found something this week and changed the cars before they went to Darlington. So maybe, you know, there's something there for the Ganassi cars to make a push. I don't know. But I thought that was interesting that they were testing at Richmond and they found something that would help at Darlington, a high bank, you know, mile, high wear tire. So I wonder what it was. We'll never know.
Yeah, you got me wondering now. Yeah, that's right. Kyle Larson was one of those guys that tested at Richmond. And for Jamie McMurray, it might be too little too late for him as he's trying to battle to get in. I know he's a former winner at Indy. Touched on that. But he might have found something, but it might be too late for him to get that final playoff spot if he's going to do so. But, yeah, it's quite interesting there. I'll have to keep an eye definitely on those Ganassi cars, especially Kyle Larson for sure, because we already know he's going to be in the playoffs. That's for sure. One final question for you before I let you get out of here. Indy, what do you expect? We know Kyle Busch runs well there. I mean,
last year it was either going to be Kyle Busch or Martin Truex, and then they weren't playing nice. on the restart, you know, they had played well all day until Kyle Busch got the lead, and then they didn't want to play no more, and so then it didn't work out. So I believe it's going to be one of those two, though, that will, you know, it'll be Kyle Busch, Martin Truex running away with it. I don't think it will be a great show. They will be up front, probably one and two, either or, you know, and there won't be a whole lot of passing them for the lead.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. And the fact that I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact that, you know, MTJ could be, he and Kyle Busch could be teammates here next year. I mean, they've been quote-unquote teammates for the last several years, you know, with that technical alliance, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. But yeah, man, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, it was going to be one of those two last year until, you know, Kyle Busch got ticked off that, you know, Mark Truex passed him, and then it all went to hell, and then the race went all to hell too, because crashing.
After that, it just triggered a whole.
Yeah, so definitely, it'll be interesting to see, you know, with the announcement today, see how, you know, Mark Truex and them come out. Like I told you, you know, I think now they got nothing to lose. You know, just go out and focus on getting the best finish possible, and yeah, man, we'll see what happens there. But Mick, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining me tonight. And stay dry if you can.
I will. It's supposed to rain all week, so it's going to be hard.
Definitely. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Until next week.
Until next week. All right.
Yep. All right.
Boys and girls, welcome back to 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast with yours truly, EG3, Eddie Reed III, here with you guys on another post-race reaction from Darlington Raceway. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. Indianapolis this week, the regular season finale going to go down. Big Machine Vodka 400 at the Brickyard Sunday on NBCSN. And, of course, the Xfinity Series race, Lily's Diabetes 250, the second to the last regular season race for the Xfinity Series, going down on NBCSN as well. And Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio will have coverage of both of those races this weekend. We just got done talking with Mick Rose from Junction City, Kansas, who lives 20 minutes out. And that was a very good conversation right there. And I just want to talk to you guys just for a few more minutes tonight on this post-race reaction edition of the podcast about Mark Truex Jr. before I close it down for tonight. And driving through the rain, and like I just talked about Mick about, you guys heard it. You know, a buddy of mine texted me. I'm going to leave him anonymous. He's also a Mark Truex Jr. fan. He's the first to break the news to me. And, you know, you can prepare for a situation all you want from all angles, but when it actually happens, either way, emotions hit you. And I was very, very disappointed when I heard this news was finalized this afternoon. Such a heartbreaker, man. Watch a team, you know, from down the dumps, if you will, you know. Barney Visser started his own team, not in North Carolina, from all the way out west in Denver, Colorado, and built that team from the ground up, and see where it is now, excuse me, and close its doors down. Very, very sad. And, of course, another organization has to close the doors down due to, again, that vital word of sponsorship. And I sound like a repeating horse on the show for some points, but again, sponsorship, as I've learned, you know, if I take off the Mark Truex hat for a moment, you know, as a media guy, you know, looking at it, trying to learn each and every day something new about the sport, sponsorship is huge. And when the 5-Hour Energy left sport, decided to leave Mark Truex, a champion, a defending champion, more or less, it was hard to see 5-Hour go. And the domino effect from that, you know, Barney Visser, you know, saying a few weeks ago that we're going to race next year, you know, we're going to put a team out there that's going to be competitive week in, week out. Not only you're competitive, you're running up front in the top five over those last several years. You know, we see that team, you know, King Wallace, Regan Smith, bringing them their first win in the Southern 500 a few years ago. And then Kurt Busch bring them to the playoffs, and now Martin Truex Jr., you know, solidifying Furniture Row Racing as a complete legit contender for the last several years. He and Cole Pearn lighting the NASCAR up, and now to see the whole team not function anymore at the end of the year once the lights go down at Homestead, whatever the situation Martin Truex Jr. in, whether he's in the whatever happens to MTJ with Furniture Row Racing at season's end, you know, it's been a hell of a ride, you know, being a part of it, you know, being a part of seeing the organization thrive, and the stories along with it, you know, Sherry losing a crew member last year at Kansas, you know, I did not hear about that until going to the racetrack that day that Furniture Row Racing lost somebody. I was completely stunned at that news last year. And then, you know, of course, you know, him rallying that team, wheeling that team to a championship over Kyle Busch those last 30-some laps, you know, I thought he was screwed. And then, you know, just reminiscing over that, you know. Sometimes we take for granted, you know, what's going on. And I talked about it at the top of the podcast today. You know, flooding, you know, we have other bigger issues, you know, to deal with sometimes. You know, it's bigger. You know, sports, it's one sports, we want to get away from the social thing that's going on. That's what we want to separate that. And of course, you know, there's been a whole bunch of talk about these politics and all this other stuff, trying to bring in the sports and whatnot. I ain't all about that, okay? I want to talk about sports, whether it's NASCAR with you guys or talk with my buddies about football, baseball, whatever that is. I want to talk to you guys about NASCAR. And that's why I love what I do each and every week. Talk about NASCAR with you guys, folks, that listen around the U.S. And we've been getting a lot of new listeners each and every week on the 3Wide podcast. And I again, thank you for tuning in to the 3Wide with EG3 podcast. But again, I mean, it's very sad to see it. But on the other end, if it was a positive, I'm just glad. I'm glad that Barney made a decision and made it in a nice, timely fashion. I mean, you cannot go in these playoffs, you know, still wandering around. You know, there's been, you know, Martin qualified third over the weekend and was in contention until a phony, it looked like to me, and it was a phony call on the pit road. I criticized the pit crew like I usually do, but when I went back to see it, I didn't really see an uncontrolled tire in that situation. So I don't know. NASCAR completely, it, like usual, screwed over the 78 team again for whatever reason. But, I mean, now this team got nothing to lose. I mean, yes, they're the defending champions, but, I mean, you're not building cars next year, right? So, I mean, unless you're building it, I mean, I'm not going to finalize anything until I see it on the paper, you know what I mean? But, yeah, definitely sad, you know, see, you know, be a part of this organization. It's been grateful. And also, to be on top of that, you know, who would have thought about me being a part of a group just like Twitter, you know, that's passionate about one driver. And specifically, you know, everyone has their groups, right, on Facebook and all that. But, you know, I would have never told you that I would socialize with a bunch of strangers on Twitter the last several years about Martin Truex Jr. with other people that are fans too of the sport and of the same driver as you do. So, and this is a shout out to Truex Nation. Damn, it's been a blast over the last several years, including we've been together from the downfall, from the heartbreaks, the missed opportunities of winning races, to being on top of the world last year. And I would never thought that being a part of such an awesome group of guys and ladies also of Martin Truex, supporters of Martin Truex Jr. So I wanted to, I know this is not the end of the season. I know. But I was really thinking about that today while it's driving in the rain and all that other stuff. And yeah, so definitely a shout out to Truex Nation for sure, man. And one of the big dominoes, you know, with Martin leaving front row is Cole Pearn. Obviously, you know, I've read something interesting before hopping on the podcast about he's saying that he'll hang it up if, you know, something about front row couldn't continue. This was from last year about he and his wife and the family, you know, moving. If Frontier Row Racing, you know, didn't exist or anything like that, something like that. So, but if I heard it right today, saw a couple more tweets about, you know, Cole going over with Martin. If that is accurately right, then that would be relieving. That would be such a relief, because I think Martin and Cole, they obviously, you know, they're gelling right now. I know it's a difficult situation. Kind of a difficult situation right now, but these guys, I mean, it'd be interesting to see now going forward, like Mick said, you know, go ahead, make the announcement, and, you know, focus your eyes on possibly trying to get back to Miami. I mean, they're going to say, oh, you know, there's already people out there, NASCAR media, already counting out Truex, basically saying, you know, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, that pisses me off. It kind of been like that all year, really, because the weird year that Truex is having, you know, with all these top fives and all that, and then, you know, having the luck that he's had. Hopefully, it'll be out of the way by when the playoffs start. That's the true X fan in me talking. But, you know, it's NASCAR. Anything can possibly happen. So it's been a weird year. But definitely, you know, everyone's already saying Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick going to make it. But, you know, the weird things have happened in these playoffs. And we obviously, I mentioned Truex. For those of you who don't know, you know, Truex, a couple years ago, walked in as the favorite and left eliminated after the round of 12. And they go back. You know, Kyle Busch had one of those years back in the early 2000s. Won, eight races or whatever. And then went to playoffs. They were crap. They were shit. So, I mean, it's weird like that. So, anything can happen. And they might as well just keep talking about the 4-18 making the Miami in a 7-8. So, you know, with the news. And they'll really count 7-8 now with the news breaking. They'll shut it down. But this organization, they got nothing to lose. They got talented people still over there. We still got 11 races to go here. And like I said here, I think with this, it'll put the mind at ease a little bit. And Mark Trish Jr. just go out there and just run. Go out there, Cole Pern, they know how to win races. Go out here and get the job done. And like I said, if that is true, which a couple of people have tweeted out already, I'm not going to be totally satisfied until I see it finalized. I think I said it last week. I think it makes sense. Martin, he and Cole Pern, they are one of the top duos right now in the sport, despite, you know, this news today that Virtual Racing is shutting its doors down. If, for those of you just tuning into the podcast late, Virtual Racing shutting it down at the end of the year. And it's just another unfortunate situation because, you know, Virtual Racing, they have been the legit top contenders, and now they're going to be shutting it down. And me and Mick talked about it. You know, Daniel Suarez, he has to go out there and win. Or this is what it is. You got to make the playoffs. It's a big deal in this sport now. And we haven't, you know, I like Daniel a little bit, but he hasn't won a race yet. I mean, he's an Xfinity Series champ. Don't get me wrong, but he hasn't won a race yet. And all this, you know, I stick to what I've said all along. I don't see MTJ in the 41. I just can't see that happening. And it just makes the right sense. Listening to the PETM podcast earlier in the rain today while on the road for work. And this kind of, I mean, it's weird in a way, but this kind of brought up a perfect situation. Now, with the whole Virtual Racing situation basically out there, you know, Brandon, Sherwin, Rusty and them boys talking about, you know, Mick brought the question up that which way would Cole go? Summarizing it, which way would Cole go if Martin Truex Jr. left, and where would he go? And thinking about that, I mean, you guys already know my answer. I've said it probably 100 times already in the last two episodes or so of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. But I just right now, you know, I like what Brandon suggested, the host of Lap Traffic podcast. I like that situation. I like the way he thought about that. Cole going over to a rising star in Daniel Hemric, RCR. RCR, the Xfinity program, really, really consistent, more so than that cup team right now. But right now, in this day and age, in this situation right now, I just think, you know, you put Martin with another crew chief, and the way, I just don't know, right? And you got to be smart. You got to be dumb not to pair Martin back with Cole. It just makes that transition the easiest. But again, nothing's not finalized yet until we know 100% for sure where Martin Truex Jr. and Cole Pern will land for next season. And finally, folks, I'm going to end with this. And I'll have next time on the podcast, I will issue out EG3 stickers on the end of the week. But to wrap it, Atlanta, Philly, Thursday. I can't wait for this football game right here. And, you know, for all what it is, you know, all this mystery about Doug Pearson talking about, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, trying to protect the news out there. And it did Ian Rappaport get the report first out and whatnot about the quarterback situation? Look, I mean, you know, from what we've heard, what we've watched, everybody's watching the news and all that other stuff about Carson Wentz. He's not clear contact unless he's secret it is. unless you're not telling me that I'm not seeing. So, you know, Nick Foles opening up at quarterback, leading the Philly to the Super Bowl last year and winning it. I mean, this is a different year now. And then, of course, my team, Atlanta, going back to the scene of the crime where we got eliminated in the fourth down and go situation where it's the Philly defense knew what was coming, all that. And like I said before, hopefully Sarkisian's got something cooked up for that Eagle defense. And yes, their defense is their strength. To me, it's their D-line. Obviously, they added Michael Bennett to that, to Fletcher Cox and those guys, but they're not going to have a key linebacker and all that. So, I mean, I'm hoping it was like what the Chiefs did last year. Chiefs went up to Foxborough last year and spoiled the party up at New England last year. I'm really hoping that same page happens with the Falcons. They can really come out there and make a statement early in the season and go up there and win the thing, win the first game of the NFL season. So I'm really looking forward to that matchup as well. And, of course, Indianapolis, another marquee event this weekend as well. As I told you guys, the next time on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, it will be a stage break. I did not record a stage break last week, but this week I will, and it will be surrounding the Bubble Guys. And we talked about it tonight on edition of the podcast. Three former winners outside the cut line needing to make something happen, basically, throughout the Hail Mary. It's Hail Mary time for those guys if they're going to make it. And for McMurray, like I said, if they did find something, is it too little too late for those guys? Because right now, Kyle Larson, we already know he's in the playoffs, and McMurray outside looking in, and he's going to have a whole lot of work to do this weekend if he's going to have a chance to upset either Bowman or Jimmy Johnson. Cannot believe we're talking about Jimmy Johnson and him being outside almost to the point that he could be eliminated. But he says he'll make it. And like I said earlier, my first analysis stays. I think Jimmy Johnson will barely get in again in the postseason. You can follow me at 3Y_FastEddie on Twitter. Again, at 3Y_FastEddie. You can follow me on Twitter and, of course, Podcast Central. 3Wide with EG3 on Audio Boom, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and, of course, iHeartRadio, and, of course, iTunes. And like I say every week on this podcast, if you're not a follower on the 3Wide podcast on iTunes, then I don't know what you guys have been missing. But subscribe to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, and you will not miss a critical moment the rest of the season. We are officially in playoff mode. Of course, the trucks are off again before they resume their playoff action next week. The Xfinity Series winding down their regular season along with the Cup Series, the regular season finale in Indianapolis, the Brickyard 400. We'll have more discussion about that later on this week. So again, if you're not a follower on iTunes, I suggest you get on that right now. And if you want to, please leave a rating or a review as well. It definitely helps out the show out. And I do that kind of on purpose, not for iTunes sake, but for the show to get out as well. Get the word out of the 3Wide with EG3 NASCAR podcast. Get the word out. Keep spreading the word. And that's like I always say, join the movement on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. And yes, my voice is still a little squeaky, but I think it's gotten better as this podcast comes to an end pretty much. So definitely don't miss out. Audio Boom, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Going 3Wide with E33 NASCAR. You can find it on those outlets. Folks, time for me to wrap this thing up. Close the garage on another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Post-race reaction edition. Darlington, Brad Keselowski taking the lady to the prom. Sweeping the weekend at Darlington. And Brad Keselowski is in well, he's locked. He was locked in anyways, but he's in the playoffs and has a little mojo on his side going to Indianapolis, Roger Penske's favorite place, and he'll look to add to that. And Brad Keselowski in the Cup side now has 9 playoff points. I'm Eddie Greer III saying thank you for tuning in, folks. It's been a pleasure once again to bring you another post-race reaction edition of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Again, the next time you'll be hearing me is later on towards the end of the week stage break, and of course, we'll dice something up previewing the regular season finale of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. But for right now, we got to roll on out of here, closing the garage. Thank you for listening to another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Like I always say, we out.